Spirit to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good to see everybody this morning. I'm going to ask it, you're going to pull the words up there for me, Mr. Bobby, and we're going to sing the hymn, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." So you're welcome to look in your hymn book or just on the screen there. And if you'd like to stand this morning, we'll just all sing it. There's nothing like trusting in the Lord, is there?
"Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the same.
Been singing that song for years and years, and I'll sing that chorus, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've proved you more and o'er and o'er." I love the Lord this morning.
Beyond the of time, there's a beautiful land where the word of God is glory unfurled, and by the grace of God I someday will call it my home. I never miss heaven for the world. I know. for the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, though things of earth may try to allure. For the smile of God means more than sin's glittering days. I'll never miss heaven for the world.
That's going to be eternal, and that's going to be a wonderful place. And I'm looking forward to going there and seeing Jesus. And as we get older, we got more to look forward to in heaven, as not only the Lord, but our loved ones and friends. So, great place to. I'm looking forward to it. I want to move from this world of fear, kind of getting tired of living here. I want to go home where the winds of sorrow never blow. Far from the shadow of the tomb, far from the sadness and the gloom. I want to go home where death demands my tattered soul. Getting ready today, moving out tomorrow, gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the lights, I'm almost there. I want to go home when life is through, move up to heaven where dreams come true. I get thrilled just thinking about the glory we will share. Gonna see loved ones who have gone, gonna see the King upon his throne. I'll never return to this old life when I get there. Getting ready today, moving out tomorrow, gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the light, I'm almost there. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the light, I'm almost there. I see the light, I'm almost there. Getting ready today, moving out tomorrow, gonna say goodbye to earthly sorrow. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the lights, I'm almost there. I'm looking for a mansion there. I see the lights, I'm almost there. I'm looking for those lights, aren't you? This is an old song that I sung years ago. I found it where I wrote the words down on this piece of paper, 40-some years old, at the house, all preserved. I was all alone and drifting on a lonely sea of sin. Nothing but darkness, no sunshine within. I lifted my eyes to the Lord in the sky, and glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me, and so He set me free. Once I was blinded, but now I can see. At the Sea of Galilee, He said He'd remember a mortal like me. I asked for His blessings down on my knees, and glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me, and so He said, now I can see. Glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me, and so He set me free. Once I was blinded, but now I can see. Now I can see. Glory to God, He remembered me. We'll do these old songs this morning. When my soul is singing in the promised land above, I'll be satisfied, praising Christ the Savior for redeeming grace and love. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Living in a city where the soul shall never die, I'll be satisfied. There to meet with loved ones, never more to say goodbye, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Now when I meet the ransom over on the golden shore, I'll be satisfied. There I'll join the angels singing praises evermore, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'm going to be satisfied. Standing when my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord. That's in heaven, but you know, we can be in His presence and be resting in His presence here and now. And this song talks about that. Today I found myself in a most unusual place. All at once, I was standing face to face with someone I knew so well, but I had never seen. I was standing in the presence of the King. Standing in the presence of the King, the world just slips away beneath my feet. Mortal man can never write the song my heart sings while I'm standing through His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. With a joyous heart, I begin to sing. For at last I am standing where He said that I could be. I am standing in the presence of the King. Standing in the presence of the King, the world just slips away beneath my feet. Mortal man can never write the song my heart sings while I'm standing in the presence of the King. While I'm standing in the presence of the King. Excuse me to get some water. We'll do one more for you, Wes. I'm running out of time, running over a little bit. Well, sometimes we do get too much hurry, don't we? We want to get to Highway 55 before the church crowd gets there, you know. I understand. We'll be honest, ain't that right? Let me move this so my words don't fall down. I'm going to try to sing a song this morning that Wes mentioned to me the other night, and it's a great song. It's been out for a lot of years. Got a wonderful message. 4 days late. The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, but he did not come, and they wondered why. Now the death watch was over,
buried for days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way, not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time? Then Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days. The gray stone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive. He's alive. Now you may be fighting a battle fear. Cry to the Lord, I need you now. He's not up here, but he's coming. Friend, don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. Soon he'll be here. He'll roll back the stone and call out your ways, God's way, not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time? My God is great when he's 4 days late, he's still
Thank you, Bobby. Y'all give Bobby another hand. He does so much to carry out the will of God. I asked him about that Tuesday night, kind of put him on the spot with it, actually. And so I just asked that you continue to pray. And thank God for Bobby Ray and for him and Scott coming and singing with us. And I just want to know, isn't it a blessing to know that when God is 4 days late, he's still on time? Amen. I want to give you a little disclaimer here before I jump into this message, and I'm probably going to preach it a little different than you've heard it before, a little in a different order, but a little disclaimer, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump in here. First of all, I'm not making light of anybody that's sick when we're talking about sickness here and suffering. And second of all, I'm not anti-Halloween. You know, so if you like Halloween, don't be getting upset with me and catch me at the back door. Amen. All right, let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we just hear you scream out that I am the resurrection and the life. That, Lord, if we believe in you, we will see the glory of God. And Lord, I just pray that we get glimpses of your glory as we stand in your presence today, Lord, that it is you who's able to keep us from stumbling, Lord, to make us stand in the presence of your glory, blameless, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray now that it would be all glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time in this service today. and when we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 11 of John is a famous passage. I believe everybody knows it. That song's made it even more famous. I'd said last week that we need to hear the Word of God and we need to listen for it in songs. That is a song right there that you can follow right through that chapter. I mean, I just love songs that are just singing about Scripture. And here, I want us to think about something. And I don't know where to get information anymore because it's so much false information out there. But according to Encyclopedia Britannica, on the 25th of October, they updated it. And according to them, people are going to spend $6 million on Halloween this year. It's the largest celebrated holiday, second only to Christmas. Can you believe that? Only Christmas, other than Christmas, Halloween's the next biggest celebrated holiday that money is spent on for decorations and things. I'm not anti-Halloween, but I'm always wondering why we spend so much to celebrate death. Why wouldn't we spend our time and money celebrating life? And Jesus walks through that problem here. If you think about it, he's just got done preaching that he is the good shepherd. He's got done, just finished teaching about eternal security of the believer. And he claimed himself and God, the Father, to be one. And so the Jews, which is everyone opposed to Jesus of the Hebrew nation, they picked up stones and they're going to stone him. So Jesus crosses the Jordan to Perea, where John the Baptist had been baptizing. And he's over there preaching, and that's the setting. That's where he's at. He's over there preaching, and as we come to chapter 11 of John, this is the last miracle in Jesus' public ministry, because after this, he starts teaching the 12 disciples because he's on the way to the cross. And here, I want you to see, that's the situation, so I want you to see the problem. It says, now there was a certain man, Lazarus of Bethany. Now this is Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, not the Bethany on the other side of Jordan where Jesus is. So it's about a day's travel from Bethany near Jerusalem to where Jesus is in Perea. And it says, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. So here's the problem. Lazarus is sick. And here's the problem. Death says that this sickness, that death's got the last word in this sickness. This is the problem. Now, it's something here I talked with, James called me, and he's terminal with cancer, and we was talking about Job, and I said, you know, you got to remember in Job, we know something Job doesn't. You know, God told Satan. Satan said, you know, the only reason Job likes you is because you give him everything he wants. God says, he'll love me anyway. And here John does the same thing for us. When we read in Scripture, sometimes we have to remember we know more than the people involved. Did you know that Mary does not anoint Jesus' feet to the next chapter? John wants us to go ahead and know that she loved Jesus. So her not understanding why Jesus delayed is not her lack of faith or her lack of love. It's just human nature. We have questions. And here, they run into this problem. Lazarus is sick, and so they search. Anytime you're stressed, you look for an answer, or you search for an answer. So it says the sisters sent word to the Lord saying, behold, he whom you love is sick. So Lazarus is sick, so they're praying. And Jesus says, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. We need to remember that death claims it has the final word on sickness. But then when we pray and ask God for help, we've also got to remember that often the solution is that God delays to magnify or glorify himself more than he's already been glorified. It says here, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death, but to the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. When the Son of God is glorified, it glorifies the Father. The Father's got a plan. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, carries out that plan. He does the work. He says, he's already said in John, I do the works that I've seen my Father do, and I can only speak the things that I've heard my Father speak. I come to do the will of my Father, of him who sent me, and all that he give me, I will cast none out. And so here, when Jesus says the Son of God is going to be glorified in this, and that'll glorify the Father. So sometimes when God is delayed in coming, it glorifies God. Jesus said, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place he was. Now, why would God, knowing that they are stressed out, Lazarus is sick, and it says here Jesus loved them, and it says he stayed 2 days longer? Well, first of all, Jesus already knows everything. So you've got to understand, if it's a day's trip to where Jesus was, Lazarus has already passed away. The messengers don't know this, but Jesus knows this. But also, that it was belief in the first century, even in the Jewish mind, much like the way Halloween started 2,000 years ago also, that when someone passes away, the soul hovers over the body for 2 days till the body starts to decay, and then the soul realizes that it has nowhere to go, and then I don't know where they thought it went. That's something you'll just have to look up for yourself. Amen. But this idea of Jesus waiting 2 days and then a day's travel, it says when he arrives, it's been 4 days. But he's still on time. And it's to teach a lesson. It's to glorify God. And we'll get to how God has glorified this in a minute. But here is the solution that we're looking for. We got to believe that God reveals his glory in times of delay. So we love to sing this song, he's 4 days late, but still on time. So if you're praying and you've got a plan, like Mary and Martha, we'll call Jesus, Lazarus will be healed, and everything's going to be okay. But Lazarus dies. Jesus hadn't come yet. Jesus says, this is to reveal the glory of God, or to magnify God's glory. Now, what is God's glory? God's glory is his name. It's his reputation. You know, if Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life, and that he'll give you life, his reputation's on the line. It's God's majesty. It's his splendor. It's his honor. It's his renown. It's his fame. All of this is about who God is. That is his glory. And Jesus says that God will be glorified by it. And we got to understand, when he delays, we must believe that his glory is going to be seen. And first of all, when he heard it and stayed 2 days longer, he told the disciples that we need to go up to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, verse 8, Rabbi or teacher, the Jews were just seeking to stone you there. And you're going up again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And this he said, and after that he said to them, your friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I go so that I may waken him out of his sleep. And the disciples said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. And Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you might believe, but let us go to him. And therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, or the twin, also we know him as Doubting Thomas, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so we may die with him. So Jesus says, come on, let's go. And Thomas says, why not? We'll just go with you and die. Here Jesus says that we need to believe that God reveals his glory in times of delay. He wants to teach them something. Guess what? We're not on God's timetable. That's what this is talking about. In Jewish life, it wasn't like then. We didn't have a watch. We always got to set by our phone every morning because it gets 2 minutes fast for some reason. Don't know why. And we don't have all this digital clocks back then. They divided the day into two halves, 12 hours. Some days was longer than others. Why? Because the sun was up longer certain times of the year, down shorter. You know what happened? You get up, it gets light, you go to work. How many remember that, doing that when you was young? I learned quick. That's why everybody picks on me about getting up early. First time I was old enough to get up on my own, I overslept. And I come downstairs, and I was going to eat breakfast, and Daddy said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting me some breakfast. He said, son, breakfast is at 5 o'clock. Anything after that, growing on lunch, you got to wait. So I learned to be up at 5 o'clock. Amen? Same thought here. When it got light, they went to work. When it got dark, it was time to stop working. There's two things that Jesus is using this metaphor for. First of all, while he is in God's timing and God's will, nothing's going to happen to him. He says, in the daylight, hey, I'm working the works of God, and I'm still accomplishing the work God sent me to do. I haven't gone to the cross yet. Guess what? And I want you to know this for yourself. The safest place you can be in any bad situation is in God's will. That's what Jesus is saying. Y'all come on, go with me. Nothing's going to happen. Hey, it's still time to be working. While you can work the works of God with me, guess what? Hey, I'm going to be crucified. And he says, when I'm crucified, you'll be scattered. He says, but while I'm working, you come with me. And you work with me in the Father's will, it's the safest place you can be. And he says, but if you wait and try to do things outside of God's will, you'll stumble and fall. He's also talking spiritually here. As believers, if we're not in God's will, we stumble and fall. If we're in God's will, that's the safest place we can be. We won't stumble over the obstacles that Satan and the world throw in our place. So Jesus, that's one way God reveals his glory to us. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but we follow God's will and just do it. And here the next thing we see is God enters into our crises, or God enters into our suffering. Jesus entered into our suffering in that he suffered for our sin, but he also entered into our suffering just like he did here with Mary and Martha. Verse 17 tells us that Jesus has the last word over death, but also that he enters in to our suffering. We got to believe that that's one of the ways that he reveals his glory to us. It says when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. This is something that they did. The grieving process went on for about a month, but the first week was real intense. After they went to the grave and they put the spices on the body, the women would go back to the house. Friends and family would come, and they'd bring a big thing of chicken supremes from Bojangles, and they'd bring some tater salad, and they'd get all that stuff, and they was there to comfort them. But Jesus entered into their suffering so that he could comfort them. So when Jesus got there, he had already allowed a crowd to gather so that they could see the glory of God when he revealed it through the resurrection of Lazarus. And it says that Martha, therefore, when she heard Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Now, we already know from Luke that Mary and Martha have different personalities. Mary sat contemplated, learned at the feet of Jesus. Martha had to be busy. She had to be doing something. Same way with us in our grief. We all handle it different ways. Here it says, Martha run out to Jesus and said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died. Even now, I know whatever you asked of God, God will give you. Here's what we have to believe, that God will reveal his glory to us in times of delay. And here is two questions. One is inferred and one is more of an assertion that you can make a question. First of all, why? Why haven't you answered my prayer? How many of you have ever prayed that? That's what she wants to know. She runs out to Jesus, and it's inferred. She's like, why did you delay? Why wasn't you here? And then the next thing is, she believes in God. Y'all, how many of y'all believe in God this morning? We believe in God when we pray, right? She says, if you'd been here, this would have turned out a different way. You know what Jesus is going to teach her? I'm here now, and it's going to turn out God's way. Some days we just have to wait and see. And that's the hard part. I want to put in a little application right here. Paul says in Romans 12:15 that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As Jesus' hands and feet, we often need to enter into other people's suffering with them, just as Jesus did. We need to remember that sometimes when we don't know what to do or what to say, that's when we have to depend on Jesus the most. Do you know that's when Jesus gets the most glory? When we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to comfort them. I've done more funerals in the last 10 days in my family and other people's family, and all you can do is give them hope in Christ. And it's been a blessing that everyone passed away was believers. But we sometimes, when we go to enter into their suffering, we have to depend on God. And you know what God might tell us? You don't have to say nothing. Just sit and listen. Sometimes folks just need somebody to listen to them. But here Jesus tells her, after she said, Lord, if you'd been here, things wouldn't have turned out this way. My brother would not have died. And she says, even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. Now, she doesn't know or doesn't believe or doesn't think or hadn't even fathomed that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. We pick that up a little bit farther along when Jesus tells her, where's Lazarus at? Where's the grave? And she says, don't roll back that stone. It's been 4 days. He stinks. She didn't have no idea that Christ was going to resurrect him. What she's saying here is, I believe that you and the Father, that whatever you asked of God, God will do, and whatever you're fixing to do here, it's going to be for our best. God's glory is going to be revealed here. It's what she's saying. And then Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again on the resurrection day. She understood the Old Testament that in the last day, Jesus has already said all that the Father has given me in chapter 6, verse 39 and following. All that the Father has given me, I will not lose any or cast any out, but I'll raise them up on the last day. She understood the resurrection. She says, I know in the last day he will rise. I know there's something beyond the grave, but what I'm dealing with is right now. And then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and he's calling you. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the most important question you can ever answer. Do you believe this? Jesus is teaching two truths here about resurrection power, about life. First of all, we need to understand when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, I am. He's talking about his deity. He's talking about who he is as the God-man. Who he is being fully God. It was God's pleasure that the fullness of God dwell in him. When Christ says, I am, he's talking about his deity. And when he says, I am the resurrection, he's not saying I'm the one that can resurrect somebody. He's saying, I am the resurrection. When he says, I am the life, he's not saying I'm somebody who can give you life. He said, I'm life. John 1:4 says that he is the light and the life of the world. Says that all things was created for him and by him and through him. In Colossians also, and all things that hold together because of him. He is the life. Now it says, he who dies will live. He's talking about physical death. If Christ does not come back and rapture the church, each one of us is facing death, physical death. We will die. Jesus told the disciples here, he says, Lazarus is asleep. To Jesus and to the believer, death does not have the final word. Death is just a dirt nap. It's your body. Your body and soul are separated. And he says here, though, that he who believes in me will never die. He's talking about spiritually. Once we accept Jesus' forgiveness and ask him to give us a new life, we were spiritually dead because we've sinned and rebelled against God. We are raised to a new resurrected life spiritually. The moment we breathe our last breath on earth, our next breath is uncontaminated air in heaven. We're spiritually in heaven, and then one day, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Christ will return and resurrect us, our bodies. And then our bodies and our spirit will be joined together for a glorified body without these aches and pains and headaches and high blood pressure and cancer and scars and bumps and bruises and everything else that happens to you when you get up. The older I get, the more I find broke up when I get up. Amen. None of that is going to be there. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, you'll see the glory of God. And everyone who believes will never die. Do you believe this? Look, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the death and the judgment. We have to make a decision this side of the grave where we're going to spend eternity. Either you believe that Jesus came to this earth and entered not only our suffering and our immediate context of our life or our crisis, but he entered into suffering the punishment of sin for us. Each of us that failed to live God's way have sinned against God and deserved death. But Jesus lived fully under God's command, never disobeyed, was sinless, died for our sins, the death we deserved, was buried and resurrected. He's building to this here. If we believe that, then we will never face spiritual death. And if we do die physically, we know that one day we'll have a physical body joined with our spirit to live out eternity with God in heaven. And Jesus goes on to say, do you believe this? She said, yes, I do. And then she sent Mary to see the teacher. And it says when she heard, she got up and run quickly. And as she was coming to him, Jesus had not yet come into the village. So he's still outside the village where he met Martha. Verse 31 says the Jews saw her. They went to console her. They thought she got up quickly. They thought she was going to the tomb. So they're following her. They're gathering. And it says when Mary come to Jesus, she saw him, she fell at his feet, and she asked the same question that Martha had. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who were with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. We need to know that Jesus will enter into our suffering. He will bring us comfort. He'll bring His compassion. But we need to also understand this word deeply moved here is the English translations most of the time is deeply moved or He's moved in His spirit. That word actually means angry. It's the idea of a war horse. In the Greek, it's the idea of a war horse that you're holding back, waiting to go into battle. The horse sees your enemy, knows it's going, it's snorting. It's just pawing. It's just waiting to go. It's the idea of righteous anger. Guess what? Jesus hates the effects that sin has. He hates the death, sickness, and suffering that sin's brought into the world. It troubled Him to know that His friends and His loved ones was hurting because Lazarus' sickness had ended in death, they thought. And it says He was troubled. This is the same word used when the waters were stirred up and Jesus picked up the man that had been lame for 38 years and put him in the waters to be healed. He was troubled. And it says that He asked them, "Where have you laid Him?" And they said, "Come see." And then one of the most famous verses in the Bible, shortest verse also, Jesus wept. And it says, so some of these Jews seeing Him weeping said, "See how He loved Him?" And then they say, "If He could open the eyes of a blind man, couldn't He have kept this man from dying?" And verse 38 tells us again that we need to believe Jesus always has the last word over death. Because here it says that Jesus, being deeply moved within, angry at death, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave. A stone was up against it. And Jesus says, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for He's already been dead 4 days." And Jesus says, "But I'm still on time." Jesus said, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you'd see the glory of God?" Here's the purpose of this passage right here. Don't miss this. Jesus delayed so they could see the glory of God. That's the purpose. He wanted them to see that He had the last word over death. Death's our greatest enemy. Anytime we're sick, anytime something's going on in our lives, what's the greatest fear we have? It's death. And Jesus defeats death at the cross. And here He shows us how great a power that He is the Lord over life and that He can defeat death. He said for them to remove the stone, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that You always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe You sent me." So all the Jews standing around Martha and them standing there, Jesus is not praying, saying, "Lord, help me raise Lazarus. Lord, give me the power to raise Lazarus." He says, "I know You've already heard me. When I left the other side of Jordan, You sent me to reveal Your glory and to raise Lazarus. I know You done heard me pray." Romans 8:34 says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. Did you know soon as Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, Jesus just said, "Father, they need some help. Send them a rescue." When we pray and ask for help and ask Jesus for something, I said this the other Sunday, Jesus just looks over at God and says, "Hey, guess what? Miss Joy needs some help." And He sends help. Here He says, I'm praying and I'm thanking You, because the prayer's already been answered. They hadn't seen Your glory yet. They hadn't seen Lazarus alive yet. But guess what? The prayer's already been answered, and I want them to know that Your glory is fixing to be revealed, because My power over life and death is about to be revealed. And it says here, when He had said these things, He cried out in a loud voice, said, "Lazarus, come forth," or "Lazarus, come out." St. Augustine said that if He hadn't have called Lazarus by name, that all the people in the tombs would have come out. Because He's already said in chapter 5 that before long, all the dead in the tombs would hear the voice of God and come forth. He calls him out, and it says here that the man who come forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." I want you to know that the result of this is that God is glorified when we believe Jesus has the last word over death. When Jesus has the last word over death, and we believe that, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we're all forgiven. But as we close, I don't want you to miss this last part when Jesus says, "Unbind him." Lazarus was dead, and Jesus brought him to life. Lazarus come out because Jesus called him out of death into life. He believed and come. But then Jesus told the people with him, "Unbind him." In other words, take off his death clothes. This is important when we get saved. When we get saved, we are all still wearing some of our old death clothes. We've all still got the stench of some of our old habits, our hurts, our hang-ups. It might be that we have trouble forgiving people. It might be we have trouble reconciling with people. It might be anger. You know, God's got righteous anger. We don't. We get angry. We want to get even. Whatever your tendency was before you got saved, each day you live with Christ, part of the resurrection power of the life he gives you is to be able to take off the old and put on the new. Now, just as I said that we should enter into suffering with other people as believers, Jesus also wants us to help others change their death clothes. We need to remember that we need to be patient with some people. We need to pray for some people. And some people, as Jude says, we just need to point out, "Hey, you're going the wrong way. You're rebelling against God. You need to repent. You need to turn back." I'd like to go into the next section. We don't have time, so I want to close with this. That if you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life, when he delays doing things your way, you need to believe that you will see the glory of God revealed. You know, God's answer is not always the answer that you was looking for. But ever since I've been saved, I can promise you this, God's answer to a problem's always been better than mine was. Let us pray. If you're here today and you don't know where you'd spend eternity, if you passed away today, the greatest question you can answer is, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That Jesus died for your sins. He was buried 3 days later. He was raised, so you know that you're not only forgiven if you trust in him, but you also have a new life. You just simply say, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a sinless life. You died in my place. I'm asking you to forgive me. Give me a new life. And Lord, I'm asking you to take control of that life. Help me take off the old ways and put on new ways. Help me live the rest of my life pleasing to you." If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you've been a Christian a long time, my question is, Jesus says that the glory of God is revealed when we believe that he is the resurrection and the life. If he's called you out of death into life, are you still wearing some of your death clothes? Is it any anger in your heart this morning against somebody that you just need to say, "Lord, I need help. I need to forgive them"? Have you got somebody that you are estranged from that you just don't like to be around? Just say, "Lord, we need to put this behind us. We need to be reconciled so we can join together and serve and worship you together as believers." You might have something going on in your life that nobody knows about that you just don't think that you can get rid of. But Jesus says he has the power the resurrection power to help you remove anything from your life that's not pleasing. I just ask you as believers to say, Lord Jesus, help me today to glorify you with everything I say and do. Kind Father, we thank you that by believing in you, we can bring glory to Jesus, and glory to Jesus brings glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He came to this world loving you. He lay in a manger loving you. Was born a babe to die a man, sacrificed to fill a plan, and he went through his life loving you. He taught the gospel truth. By earthly men, but he went to the cross loving you to save the world forever. There's nothing he didn't give. It took Jesus Christ to show us what love really is.
Amen. Thank you very much. Tell somebody today, Jesus went to the cross loving you. Amen. Glad y'all was here today. The offering, we're still putting them in buckets. We hadn't started back taking up offering just because of COVID. We hadn't been passing things. We need to get back to that. You can drop them in buckets. We thank y'all for coming. We started printing. We hadn't been doing bulletins. We started printing announcements in the prayer list, which the prayer list is always changing, so it changed a lot after we got it printed, after Mike got it printed Friday. But they're in the back if you want to pick them up. We're going to start having them back there for you. I want to thank all the guests for coming today. Hope you'll come back and join us again. If you have any questions, there's cards back there. I got my cell number on them. Feel free to text or call me anytime. Any announcements before we leave? Next Saturday, Bobby and the men are having a work day at what time? 8 o'clock. And there's Miss Carolyn. Miss Carolyn, you feeling better? Okay, well, we'll be praying for you. We'll call them a few minutes. All the urgent cares are closed now on Sundays to lunch or something. She was looking this morning. Y'all keep them lifted up in your prayers also. Anything else? All right. Coolwater Cowboy Church is having their roundup November the 13th from 11 to 3 o'clock, and we'll have chuck wagon set up, beans and cornbread, and Ronnie's got barbecue and hush puppies, and there's going to be country potatoes, and Safe Haven's going to be singing. There's going to be a lot going on, and so if you got kids, bring them. We're going to have pony rides, a bouncy house, all that set up. If you got kids, bring the kids, and I see Miss Kendall grinning. Y'all welcome to come and bring your kids. We was going to have the bull rides again, and that didn't quite work out. We couldn't get a piece to fix the controller on that. But anyway, it's going to be a great day, and y'all come and join us there. All right, let us close in prayer. Kind Father, we just thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord. I pray that you would just speak into their lives. And, Lord, just the time that they've gathered together to worship today, Lord, is such a blessing together with each one of them. And I pray that their time this afternoon with their family and the things that they've got to get accomplished this afternoon, Lord, that you would just help them with that, Lord. And I pray that in all that we do this week, Lord, that we just seek to believe that you've given us a life, and that by believing, we glorify you by living according to your rules. In Jesus' name, amen.